started looking at these four verses, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, but we're going to keep at it. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. And think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Believer, you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. The second verse that I really want us to look at today. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. When you put that in the context of this whole set of verses, it talks about shift from what God has done for you and realizing what he has already done for you. Take charge of your thinking. Believer, God has canceled the condemnation for our sin and cleansed our hearts from sin. He has made us alive by the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, according to chapter 2, God has set us free from the spiritual powers of this world. That's a big statement. God has set us free. From the spiritual powers of this world. But now he says, take responsibility for your thinking. Take charge of your thinking. Set your mind on things above. You see, the way we think determines the way we live and behave. The way we think determines the way we live and behave. In this world, this slide just pretty well sums up everything I have to say to you today. Set your mind on things of earth, and you'll act that way. Set your minds on the ways of heaven, and you will learn to act that way. Christianity is more than a ticket to heaven when we die. Get saved so we can go to heaven. There's real truth in that, and I don't want to diminish that in any way. But it's much more than that. Christianity is more than another set of morals, rules, and rituals. Go to church, pay your tithe, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and try to be nice. Christianity is a way of life. It's a way of life in relationship with Jesus Christ in the middle of this world. And so here's the primary instruction. Set your mind. Take charge of your thinking. New International Version, New Revised Standard Versions of the Bible translate verses 1 and 2 in a combination. Set your hearts and your minds on the ways above where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Heaven, chief executive office of the universe, wherever that's at. The old King James says, set your affections. And that one some of us would struggle with. The affections have to do with our feelings, our desires, our wants. But the old primer's pretty close. You have choice You have choice. The power of the mind. See, the heart and the mind overlap in New Testament literature. The heart is the value center of our life. In the Proverbs we read, guard your heart above all else. It determines the course of your life. The heart in Scripture is the value center. Whether you worship God or worship self or worship something else, it's a matter of the heart in Scripture. Jesus said, whatever is in your heart determines what you say, your values. Jesus also taught from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. How many times have you heard, well, you know, I just put on this good front. I really don't feel that way. Whoops, now you're lying. From the heart come evil thoughts, Jesus taught. And so we have this phrase, set your mind. It's an imperative verb, meaning give careful consideration to whatever. Give careful thought. Set your mind on something. Be intentional. Take responsibility for your thinking. Some people question whether I can do that or not. The capacity has been given to us. The challenge is learning how to do it. And then taking charge of our thinking. Some uses of this verb in Scripture. One is Jesus in a conversation with Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are setting your mind not on things, divine things, but on human things. The story is Jesus had just been telling them that time was coming, he was going to be killed, but he would rise again on the third day. And Peter started saying, you can't do that, Lord. You see, Lord, this doesn't fit with the way I perceived how things should go. And Jesus calls him Satan. The word for Satan is literally a word meaning to deceive or to seduce. And he's saying, my good friend Peter, we've been on prayer retreats together. You've watched me in ministry settings. You've watched me heal people. But you are tempting me. You've got your mind set on things of earth. You've got your mind set on your ways, not God's ways. And God's ways are going to be different. So get behind me. Peter was talking out of what he was guiding his mind and his thinking. A little earlier, we just read those verses. Have the same attitude, which is in Jesus. The older translations say, let this mind be in you. And the word there, let have this attitude or let this mind be in you, is this same verb of set your mind. In other words, take charge of your thinking. Start cultivating in your thinking the way of Jesus, who did not grasp the things of heaven, but in love for us, became one of us and became obedient to death on a cross. The Apostle Paul, writing a letter to the Philippians, said, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have told you of them often. And now I tell you, even with tears, their end is their destruction. Their God is the belly. Their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Enemies of the cross. Their minds are set on earthly things. This same writer, in a letter to the Romans, said, those who live according to the flesh have set their minds on the things of the flesh. In other words, the desires of the flesh. We were created with certain desires. Hunger, sex, acceptance, being loved. Those are just a part of us. But when they begin to dominate our lives, and they begin to control us, we've got problems. We keep hearing about the whole issue of obesity. What is it? It's allowing the desire for food to control us. Properly trained, the body has a way of telling us what we need in terms of food and protein and stuff and water. And the body just has a very unique, when we learn to listen. But when we let it control us, dominate us, guess what we do? Right? So the mindset on the flesh is letting the desires of the flesh. We were created sexual beings. We're created that way. Most of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that gift of God. But what happens when that desire drives us? We call it addictions. We call it immorality. We call it pornography. Those who live according to the flesh have set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have set their minds on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Set your minds on things above. Jesus just summarized it all this way. As he quoted what we now know as the greatest commandment, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. There's an interesting interfacing in Scripture between heart, soul, and mind. And it all gets lived out in the physical life. You must love the Lord your God. We choose how we will think, yes, in the big decisions of life. And we think we know that. School, occupation, marriage. But we also have a choice about personal identity. Who am I going to be? But we choose how we will think in our daily activities. We choose our attitudes. We choose how we think. Discipleship to Jesus Christ includes deciding how we will think. The Apostle Paul described it this way: we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take charge of it. I remember hearing a statement once in a while as growing up as a kid, talking about temptation. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. Right? Thoughts will come. They come from all kinds of directions. You don't have to entertain them. And so, set your minds on the ways of heaven, the apostle writes. Things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I'm going to be looking at a lot of that. That's summarized in Colossians chapters 3 and 4 as we move into the next few weeks. If you want another summary of ways of God, study the book of Matthew chapters 5 through 7. It's a section called Sermon on the Mount. And it's really a summary of all kinds of teachings of Jesus about how we should live. It's got some phrases that'll stretch you. Set your minds on the ways of heaven. Do not set your minds on the ways of earth. I'm not going to take time to read some of those. Romans chapter 1, Galatians chapter 5, 2 Timothy. Description by St. John, in his first letter, he said, "The world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions." Life focused on us. So since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. We must choose daily to set our minds on the ways of Christ. Now let me just apply an area where this gets confused the most. It has to do with temptation to sin. Now, you've heard some people to say, "I must be sinful because I keep having temptation." Wrong. Do you remember a guy in the scripture whose name was Jesus? Anything unique about him? No sin, right? Was he ever tempted? Was Jesus ever tempted? Let me try it again. Was Jesus ever tempted? So, we're not tempted because we have sinful minds or a sinful nature. Adam and Eve were not created sinful, but they were sure tempted. Temptation basically is the invitation to wrong. Sin is the acceptance of the invitation. You know, the Apostle James, thought to be the brother of Jesus, wrote, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, after they've endured, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong. He never tempts anyone else. He tests us in the things of life, but He doesn't tempt us to do wrong. Temptation comes from our own desires, or through our desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. I've had this idea, and I'm still waiting for evidence to the contrary. All temptation comes through the natural desires of the life. Psychical, physical, whatever. Satan tempts us through the natural desires. God has given us the power to say no. Thinking. Temptation is not the sin. Temptation is, sin is what we do with the invitation. So just six basic summaries of this teaching of James. Testing and temptation are common experiences in life for every human being. Had a bad day, had temptation. No, you had a day with temptation. Had a good day, wasn't tempted. Well, wait till tomorrow. Temptation and testing is a part of life. God blesses you when you patiently endure tests and temptations. God never tempts you to do wrong. Temptation to sinful behavior does come through our desires. Sinful actions is what brings guilt. Temptation doesn't bring guilt. Sinful action brings guilt. God uses temptations and trials we encounter to strengthen and develop us. So how do we overcome temptation? Recognize temptation for what it is. Temptation to do wrong. How do we overcome? Choose to listen to righteous instruction. The Word of God. Choose to honor God. Choose to say no to temptation. But you don't just say no, you say yes. How do I say no to something wrong? By saying yes to what is right. I understand. Say no to drugs. Say no. That by itself doesn't work. What are you saying yes to? That's what changes you. But notice, temptation comes through the thinking process. Oh, it goes through a lot of filters. Desires, experiences, habits, on and on. And it just goes through those filters lightning speed. And it comes out in behavior. We've got to learn how to think. We change how we think. Choose to listen to righteous instruction, the Word of God. Let it shape you. Let it teach you. Choose to honor God. Choose to say yes to what is right. Rick Warren, author of Purpose Driven Life, had an editorial that I picked up some time ago. And it just has some interesting thoughts here, so I'm just going to read it. Warren says, "The battle for sin starts in your mind, not in your behavior. The way you think determines the way you feel. The way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change the way you act, you start by changing the way you think. In addition, if you want to change the way you feel, you must start with the way you think. For instance, I can say I need to love my kids more, but that isn't going to work. Or a woman can say, I need to love my husband more, but that isn't going to work. You can't fight your way into a feeling. You must change the way you think about your kids, about your husband, about your wife. And that will change the way you feel, which changes the way you act. The Bible says there must be spiritual renewal in your thoughts and attitudes." So Warren sums up the editorial this way. Let me sum it up this way. You are not what you think you are. Rather, what you think you are. The battle for sin, the battle to deal with those defects in your life that you don't like, starts in your mind. If you want to change anything in your behavior or anything in your emotions, you start with your thoughts and your attitudes. You're not what you think you are. What you think is what you are. Play with that one for a while. Brings us back to the instruction. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Not on the things of earth. Let's skip that clip that I was going to show. Jason chose an interesting song that I think just summarizes and pulls all of this together. The title of it is Simple Prayer. This is my simple prayer. Come and purify me. Cause my heart to burn again. Fill it with your fire. Folks, that starts with how we think. And how I think makes Jesus Lord of our life. Lead us, Jason.